He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's the Monday morning. Welcome to a new week edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. I keep waiting for a week or a day that is not so busy in the market news-wise, but boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of news out there today. With just 4 weeks left in the trading year, we've got a choppy start to the market today, which I kind of warned a little bit in my newsletter on Friday that, you know, we've had a pretty good run over the last several weeks in the market. It may be time for some cooling off here. The Dow is down 124. It's at 36,121. Not too far from its all-time high. The S&P 500 is down 31 at 4,563. The NASDAQ taking it on the chin today is down about 1%. There seems to be some rotation continuing. This is the third day in a row. No 2 years are alike. Obviously, the market was dominated by big, large, mega-cap tech stocks with high P.E. ratios here this year. And at least for now, I'm seeing rotation, third day in a row, out of high P.E., big tech stocks, into some more value-oriented stocks, I would say. The small caps are up. That's surprising. They're up 12 points, Russell 2000. Oil's down $1.10. Gold is down $23 after hitting a new all-time high. A new all-time high on Friday. And wait till you hear this. Bitcoin, $41,619. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, you know, Barry, I mean, there is a lot of news today. Bitcoin up 2,000. Now, we have no exposure to Bitcoin. I've always said trade Bitcoin on your own. You know, be careful of landmines out there. Bitcoin is at 41,618, and this comes on the heels of gold hitting a new all-time high. Boy, I didn't think I'd be saying that, you know, I've been watching gold. We don't own any gold stocks or any kind of ETFs with the precious metals currently, but gold hit an all-time high last week. What is going on here all of a sudden? Is that flight to safety? I mentioned last week, Barry, that we were seeing some rotation out of the Fabulous Seven, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple, etc. That is continuing for the third day in a row. I mean, is that some of these big institutions like Fidelity and T. Rowe Price and Vanguard rebalancing, hedge funds, etc.? I've rarely seen 2 years alike in the market during my 23 years as a professional money manager. I don't expect the Fabulous Seven to lead the market in 2024. I think it will be a different bunch of stocks. There's some worry, I guess, about Powell. Boy, Barry, I cannot see him hiking interest rates this month. But that's what they seem to be worried about today, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had, of course, you know, I think it's basically that people were, you know, overreacting to maybe some of his, you know, comments at the end of the week. Last week you had, you know, you get the sentiment where, you know, folks are just hoping, right, for some kind of rate cuts.
That ain't going to happen.
Right, agreed. And you look at, you know, right now I think the market was you know, was really kind of betting on that March figure, but
maybe,
you know,
they
really told, you know, Powell was really kind of you know, basically said that, you know, that's not really in the cards towards the end of last week, and the market said, we don't believe you.
Yeah, right? And the market rallied when he said that.
Yeah, so some of this pullback may just be, maybe we should believe him a little bit in terms of, in terms of staying higher for longer, I don't think we're looking for a rate increase.
Yeah, but therein lies
a rate cut coming anytime soon either.
I mean, therein lies another big difference between 2023 and 2024. Every meeting, that's all they talked about was how high will he hike? You know, how many more hikes does he have?
Will we get a pause?
Right? Yeah, now this year it's going to be all about when will they cut? When will we get our first rate cut? So the whole tide is turning on the market there. We're at 4.25 right now. That's pretty shocking considering that we were over 5 here recently. I mean, the 10-year has come down 75 basis points. From about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the Fed or when the Treasury was bringing all those bonds to market to finance their debt and maybe offloading some stuff off of their balance sheet. I think there's a lot that goes on in the bond market that we're not privy to because of a lot of foreign players and, of course, our own Treasury, buying and selling for their own balance sheet and whatnot. So anyways, we did finish up the week on a strong note. The Dow was up 294 last week. The NASDAQ was up 79. The Dow is closing in on a new all-time high. When I got in the business in 1999, the Dow was around 3,000. And now it's 36,000. So that's a 12-fold increase during the 24 years of my participation in this industry as a professional money manager and portfolio manager and doing the planning for clients and whatnot. So seen some big changes during those years. So, okay, we got a little shakeup. We talked about that in the S&P 500. We talked about that on Friday with Uber. Yeah, my hat is off to Uber. Somebody came up with a better mousetrap, destroyed the taxi industry, the limos are still out there, I guess, but it was...
Yeah, they still got the black car drivers, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a disruptive technology. Over the weekend, we had a vote down in Venezuela. Should we care? Well, you know, Venezuela is getting ready. They basically voted to claim 2/3 of Guyana's territory, which is a lot of oil fields.
2/3, huh?
Yeah, just 2/3. Right. And, of course, 95% of the voters backed Nicolas Maduro, which doesn't surprise me. So we shall see. Now, it's funny, the Guyanese president, his name is Mohamed Ali, who I saw in person fight the great one, you know, the Louisville Slugger, the mouth of the South, Muhammad Ali. I saw Kenny Norton break his jaw, which shut him up for a while in a heavyweight champion of the world fight in San Diego, California, that my father took me to. I had a good father that, not only did he take me fishing, take me to the horse races, take me to church, and take
into
me
a prize
hunting,
fight. Into a prize
to
fight here.
A heavyweight title bout, right, that was about 2 miles from where our home was.
Had you hanging from billboards, too, though, right?
Yes,
from
and he was, the,
as well.
He was the painter of the Marlboro Man. And started a billboard company, and I held many positions there, got a lot of experience in the real world. Gold sets another high record. That's, there's something going on there. There's a flight to safety somewhere in there. And Bitcoin is so down underneath the surface, up to 41,000. You never know. I mean, is it Russian oligarchs? Is it Iranian money? You just never know about Bitcoin, and that's why I tend to avoid it. But I cannot just poo-poo this move in Bitcoin to 41,000. I think the all-time high is 66,000.
Yeah, what's the it is 66 and some change. And what's the old adage? Don't fight the tape, right?
But just that word crypto. Look, I think of a crypt with a dead body. It's just all kind of underneath the surface and kind of spooky and Halloweenish and. I don't know. Now, we're going to get a few earnings results this week. GameStop, DocuSign, ChargePoint, Dollar General, and Broadcom. We'll be interested in seeing that. Also, AutoZone, Toll Brothers, Campbell Soup, good. MongoDB, Signet Jewelers, and Chewy. Okay, so that's an interesting group of stocks. Uber, Jabil, Builders FirstSource are going into the S&P 500. Who's going out? Sealed Air, Alaska Air, and Solar Edge, a solar stock.
Wow, and Alaska Air, yeah.
They're getting it bigger because they bought Hawaiian Air here this morning. That's the deal of the day. Now, when we come back, there was a stock on Friday. Of course, we're big believers in this weight loss drug move. We own Pfizer and Novo Nordisk in our growth portfolios. How about a player that was up 25% on Friday saying that their weight loss drug performed better than the rivals? We better talk about that one when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, a big swoon in the NASDAQ here today, down 179 right now. That's 1.25%. This started last Thursday when money started to move out. You know, this is the time of year when a lot of the big institutions are repositioning, rebalancing, positioning themselves for 2024, which is just 4 weeks away right now. The Fabulous Seven, which have led this year, are on the distribution end of the thing, of the move in money today for the third straight day. I haven't really had a time to really look underneath the surface to see where the money is flowing to. That's always fun. That's what I will spend as soon as we're done with the show. I always take a look at my charts that I glean from my Best Stocks Now app database, which includes the stocks that we own, which I check every single day, number one. Number two, anything A-plus momentum or better, which there's 128 today out of a database of 5,500. So these are stocks where there's unusual action, and what I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And then I look at all my top-ranked stocks, which that's about 500 right now out of 5,500 that meet my criteria of momentum and valuation combined. So I get a pretty good feel for the market on a daily basis, where the money is going and where the money's not going. We've been parked pretty much in the same area of the market all year long. Fish where the fish are, right? Isn't that what
Charlie Munger said? That's right.
Well, I saw the boats starting to park over those Fabulous Seven early this year, back in January when I wrote in Seeking Alpha on January 6th that the NASDAQ has bottomed and it's time to start focusing on the NASDAQ and growth as the Fed became more friendly towards the beginning of this year. Next year's going to be different. It's going to be different. Now, it may be subtle, or it may be dramatic. That's why I'm watching for our own repositioning here a little bit here as we start to turn the corner on a new year. Now, the weight loss drugs. I've met a lot of people during my career in the industry, and I have a pretty big following of friends and whatnot from all walks of life, okay? And one of my friends is a biotech, former biotech CEO. He recently retired from leading a biotech company. But before that, he worked in the big pharma industry his entire life. So he's very, very knowledgeable as it relates to the big pharmaceutical companies. And, of course, one of the big subjects here in 2023 was the weight loss drugs, with Lilly's blockbuster diabetes drug that is now approved for weight loss, and, of course, Novo Nordisk, one of the great stocks of all time out of Denmark, which also got their diabetes drug approved for weight loss. And I have known several people now that have gone on the drug and the weight loss is dramatic. I mean, that's all I can say. I don't know. I know some people have had issues with vomiting and throwing up and not being able to handle these drugs. The GLP-1, which is all the rage right now in the biotech sector. On Friday, Pfizer reported, you know, the next big step in this whole thing is getting away from the shot
and
to an oral pill, okay? Yep. And Pfizer tried it. They were doing two per day, and people couldn't tolerate it. They were getting sick. And so Pfizer's going to start their clinical trials all over again with one pill per
one
day.
One pill, yeah, because I think like 45, I think it was 45% were, you know, having some kind of vomiting or issues, which is a high number when you're doing that stuff.
And in addition to that, you know, Pfizer is a stock that has been hitting new lows here recently after the big run-up they had, you know, with their vaccine. And I talked around a little bit about their weight loss drug, and what I came to the conclusion is don't write Pfizer off, okay? And in addition to that, if you're looking for value, Pfizer's got a P.E. ratio of 9 right now. It's a $30 stock. So in the Dow, Barry, it's a tiny little fraction of the overall Dow because the Dow is based on price. And last week we saw Salesforce, which is a $600 stock, dominate the Dow. United Healthcare is a 10% weighting in a 30-stock index because it's also a $600 stock.
Right.
And I said, I don't give much credence to this breakout in the Dow because it was done by two stocks, and the other 28 really didn't participate. Maybe Boeing participated a little
bit. Yeah, you could throw Boeing in there, but you know, I think Boeing doesn't have as near as much of an impact on the index.
But Boeing's $200 a share,
right.
So
yeah.
Okay, now if indeed we are starting to see a shift from growth to value, which basically means going from high growth, high PE, price to earnings ratios, to lower price to earnings, which would be a natural transition in the phase of the market that we're in right now. Well, you know what? You got to put Pfizer. I spent a lot of time studying value investing, and I spent a lot of time studying momentum investing. And at the end of the day, my conclusion was I like them both. But I like them even better when they're combined, like peanut butter and chocolate. You know, that produced an even better result.
Welcome to the peanut butter cup.
Yeah. So I like, to make stocks to make sense from a valuation point of view, which in a growth environment, you know, and you can make, we made valuation sense, and we still do of some of the big tech stocks. But now you're getting down into the depths of a Pfizer, which has value, but it lacks momentum. Maybe this new drug here that they're working on may provide that momentum that we've been waiting for. I can't believe that Pfizer, one of the great companies of all time, is done, you know, coming out with new drugs. So that's one I've got my eye on. But
yeah,
the one that
also, yeah, and they also are pretty been focused and a pretty big leader on the cancer side.
Yes.
I mean, of course, they're monster, very large manufacturer of pharmaceuticals, and cancer is one of their big their big spot, even though they got kind of hung up right with the COVID vaccine.
Yes,
right? Kind of took some of the luster.
Yes, they were focused on that vaccine for a long time. I remember going to New York City to Wall Street, and I got to be on the floor of Wall Street and everything, and visit a lot of firms back there when I was an analyst in my early years. And I remember walking outside of the Grand Central Station, looking up at this building that went to the heavens, and it said Pfizer over the door. But the one that made noise on Friday was Altimmune, ALT, which also was a player in the vaccine race. Altimmune says that their phase 2 data for their drug candidate, pemvidutide, is better, this is what they say, then Novo Nordisk and Lilly. So we'll be watching ALT which maybe is an alternative, okay? It's a tiny, it's a much smaller stock. Okay, more to talk about, a lot to talk about when we...
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where for the third day in a row, this began on Thursday, the Fabulous Seven are seeing some pretty decent outflow of money, which tells me there's some rebalancing going on in the background. We don't know who's doing it, but it's big enough to move big, giant stocks like this, right,
right, Barry? Well, you've got, you know, the other trick, too, is, and, you know, you could also have folks, you know, selling in QQQ, right, which is going to, you know, to every, you know, basically, I've always said that, you know, roughly 10%, I think, of a trade, you know, for QQQ is going to, you know, involves, you know, is like, a, is Microsoft, right?
Right.
So
right.
every share that gets sold, right, 10% of that, right, would be, you know, attributed to Microsoft, for example. And this time of year is where, you know, those kind of... nasty for tax purposes, where those you know, mutual funds they pay out their long term capital gains distributions, short term capital gains distributions. So they have to have cash to do that, and so a lot of folks will, you know, the simple rebalancing method would be sell your winners, right, and send that cash out. So that's they could have just a seasonal factor, of course. Could feel buying in January, who knows, right? 30 days from now.
The Fabulous Seven obviously provide a pretty good source of funds this time.
Right,
of year. Most of them are up anywhere from 50 to 60, 70% this year. You take them out of the equation, out of the mix, and the market was pretty flat on the year.
Right.
That's why, you know what? I know this is going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn here, but the Best Stocks Now app, you know, detected, and we just, you know, it was logic. A lot of this is logic. And late last year, we said, you know, the Fed's going to start cutting, become more friendly. They're going to stop hiking rates. And this is going to push the multiples on the market, the P.E. ratios higher, and we're going to return to a growth stock environment in 2023,
yep.
Which we were exactly right. And if you don't believe us, look at the Seeking Alpha article we wrote on January the 6th, the first week of the year, calling the move in the NASDAQ this year.
Right.
Now,
and it doesn't, and you don't need it. You don't have to have an actual cut. You know, really the market's forward, you know, interest rate expectations are lower. I mean, I was looking at
some
numbers during the break, and, you know, basically you've got, you know, for the March 20th rate decision, right, you've got 51.9% of the bets are, you know, basically on a quarter point cut, and you've got a half point cut for 6.5%. So if you look at the, if you crunch the numbers, over 58%, right, in this particular, you know, example in terms of future contracts are expecting a cut in March. Now, we don't think that's going to happen, but if the market expects it, right, well, then that's why you've seen this PE expansion in the last,
exactly.
handful, last month or so.
We've always made it very clear that the market is looking ahead 1 to 2 years. It's already priced in. It's probably already priced in the presidential election next year. It's probably priced in next year's earnings. It's probably already priced the Fed, the moves by the Fed. The only thing it can't really price in are the unknowns, right? The black swan events. So that's the way the market works. And you have to think one, it's kind of like a game of pool a little bit, where you have to think several shots ahead. Whereas the average individual investor, they're so tied up in the emotions of it all. They're thinking about today, yesterday, tomorrow. And you got to think like the market and look ahead. Now, Barry, next time we go to Detroit to Bloomfield Hills, I didn't know this casino. There's an MGM Grand in downtown Detroit. You could bet on your favorite college football. That what a game over the weekend between Alabama and Georgia.
Right. Yeah, and of course my Florida State Seminoles got shut out of the playoff, and
yeah,
consolation prize is playing Georgia in the Orange Bowl.
Washington Huskies.
That won't be a fun one for
surprisingly a are the I have a friend, he's a big Georgia Bulldog fan. And let's not forget Jennifer, our own chief operating officer.
Oh yeah.
I haven't heard from her today yet. I hope she's okay. You know, she's up there in Northern Georgia.
Yeah, and they had that tough game this weekend as well. They're not used to losing very much in Athens, Georgia. At least not in the last couple years.
No. So, anyways, next time we go to Bloomfield Hills, which should be sometime in March, April, somewhere in there. Maybe we'll go to the Greek town Motor Casino. Where they solved their strike today. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think when we were there, I think you know they were about to start a strike, or it was maybe right when we left.
Auto workers were striking when we were there.
Yeah, they were already on. They were taking all the headlines in terms of work stoppages at that point in time.
You wanted me to walk the picket lines, but I had a couple dozen people there to meet with. Anyways, other things coming up here in the market. You know what? I'm going to put a picture of this in the newsletter. We were talking about what a unique Cybertruck, you know, the look of that Cybertruck. Today in the Seeking Alpha, there's an article about Oshkosh, which received an Israeli order for dozens of armored vehicles. Okay, I'm going to put a picture of this in the newsletter. It's a joint light tactical vehicle. Now, this will show up any Cybertruck. And I guarantee you, if you're in the fast lane and moving up on a bunch of cars, they're going to get out of the way, Barry, with this thing. If you drive up with one of these babies, but here's the problem, $208 million. But that's one mean looking truck.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and you know that company was founded in 1917. So they
Oshkosh.
Yeah, they've been around a little bit longer than Tesla.
Yes. And I would just call that bad A, right? That's a bad A looking car man. Okay, Amazon, a multi-trillion-dollar giant. That's what Oppenheimer says. I like to read these predictions for next year. Most of them I don't agree with, okay. I think Amazon, at least at this point in time, still looks pretty good for 2024. I can definitely make a case for it closing higher from a valuation point of view, believe it or not. Walmart joins the growing list of companies not advertising on X. Well, I got to tell you, you know, that comes on the heels of Disney. I ran some ads on X. I paid a pretty good price to run some ads on Twitter, the X. And I got to tell you, why is Walmart leaving? Because we haven't found good results. And I didn't find good results advertising on Twitter. NVIDIA replaces AMD as the large cap stock pick at Piper Sandler. Okay, well, you know what? I don't know. It's a fabulous 10. It's in the fabulous 10.
Grab both of them.
NVIDIA's had a heck of a year. It's tripled. It's helped us in our performance quite a bit because we own it in two of our portfolios. Will it repeat in 2024, or has all of that glamour been built into this stock already? Roche is venturing into the weight loss drug market with a buyout of a... This company just went public a couple weeks ago. I said, here's another biotech that's going to specialize in weight loss drugs. This seems to be the all the rage here right now.
$100 billion or more market.
Yeah, Roche bought this thing out for $2.7 billion. So everybody wants in on this weight loss craze. Pfizer, on the other hand, Pfizer hits a new 52-week low after weight loss setback. I'm just saying, if you're a deep value kind of guy and want to kind of get in early on a really good stock, trading at single-digit PE ratio, if that's your cup of tea, you know what? I'm tempted there, Pfizer. Piper sees GLP-1s increasing demand for knee and hip surgeries in the near term. In other words, look, everybody's talking up the weight loss drugs. Oh, this is going to be a boon for the apparel companies because everybody's got to go out and get a new suit. Instead of a size 46 with a 40 waist, it'll be a size 42 with a 36 waist, right?
Yeah, it's the opposite of COVID where everybody was, you know, in jogging pants. And now we got to switch back over to the
Lululemon, apparel. Right? Yeah. No, and then they're also talking about increasing. They're talking about it, you know, hurting the orthopedics, the replacement. But I think that's a little premature to be saying there's going to be so much dramatic weight loss worldwide that it's going to hurt the.
That we're
going to
have less knee replacements.
I think
those knee replacements are in the, you know, at least on a go forward basis. We got a handful of knee replacements in the pipeline already.
Well. There's some rotation going on here in the market. You got a spot rotation early on. Calling NVIDIA now is a little late in the ball game, so that's why you want to get the newsletter coming every Saturday. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a red lane. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, if you've got some time off in December, a lot of people get some days off, set up an appointment with us. It's time to be looking ahead to 2024 and planning. Failure to plan is planning to fail, which I was always taught. One of the things that made sense to me in high school and college and whatnot. Barry is a certified financial planner. I've seen lots and lots of scenarios in my lifetime of all the folks I've talked to over the years from all walks of life. And I think we could probably help out. Sandy also. Who worked for Merrill Lynch for many years, has seen a lot of different kinds of scenarios, too, out there. And there's no two alike. That's why we don't do a one-size-fits-all asset allocation, which just takes into account your age and doesn't look into interest rates, the economy, earnings for the market, which we're expecting record earnings again next year and record earnings the year after that, but that's subject to change. That's also something we watch very closely I post it in the newsletter every single week, our target price for the S&P 500. We're going to end up being pretty much right on again this year, which we have been now for many years, because at the end of the day, the market follows earnings. And of course, the other piece of that puzzle is the multiple that those earnings are worth, S&P 500, and that multiple fluctuates, expands, and compresses with interest rates. So, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us to review how you're positioned now, and you know, take a look at. What we think going forward, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We've had a lot of requests here recently, and we try to get back to you as soon as possible and put you onto our calendar. So anyways, 855-611-BEST. Now, as I look at the market, this is the third day in a row. Now, there is an alternative possibility that's taking place here. Other than, I think it's sector rotation myself by some big firms out there, rebalancing out of that which outperformed this year by a long ways, and maybe moving money to areas that underperformed this year. That's the most likely scenario. There's also a scenario that all of a sudden they're not seeing the rate cuts that they were hoping for, right, Barry? That's probably part of it. And
right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
But I'm not seeing a sell-off in the bond market here today.
Okay, and you still got a lot of cash. I mean, you still got a lot of money in cash on the sidelines, which, you know, at some point, especially if short-term rates begin to tick down, right, or certainly at short-term expectations, then those dollars are going to want to go find a home, right? Whether it's whether it's in a longer duration on the bond side, or whether it's it moves towards the stock side of the equation.
Yeah, and I mean, if there was a lot of worry about higher interest rates for longer, you'd be seeing a sell off in the bond market today. It is up 6 basis points, so that could be part of it, but I think it's more sector rotation this time of year. That seems to be the more logical conclusion as to why we're seeing some pretty big outflows. Look at this here. We've got Intel down 4.4%. Intel was a big winner this past year. Salesforce, which led the Dow higher, I warned last week, I said Salesforce is really overpriced here at this level. Salesforce is down 3.6% right now. Microsoft is down 2.8%. Of course, it had a big year due to ChatGPT and other things. Apple's down 1.6% today. AMD is having a bad day. It's down 3.9%. That's a pretty big drop. NVIDIA's down 3.4%. I see, them being used as a source of funds. And where do I see money going today? Lower PE. That's what I see. Now, 3 days does not a new trend make, but on the receiving end of money today, I'm seeing Dollar Tree, a low PE stock. I'm seeing 3M on the lower PE side of things. Pfizer's having a good day. A single-digit PE company right now, stock, Merck, ditto Merck. It's up 1.6% today. So the lower PE stocks are on the receiving end. The big loser on the day, Alaska Airlines. The street does not like
them
buying Hawaiian Airlines.
Right, yeah.
Does not like it at all.
It's with like a $2 billion-something deal, right? Over the weekend.
And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, Hawaii lost a lot of tourism with the fire they had there in Maui.
And that's a tough business. I mean, you've got, number one, you're subjected to fuel prices, you're subjected to discretionary income, and you're, subjected to human labor costs. So, I mean, you've got three big things there, particularly for Alaska and Hawaii. You're going to be more more tied to tourism and just discretion. Folks' amount of discretionary income.
Yep, exactly. Well, as a professional money manager, I will be doing that for the next several hours here. I've got decisions to make. I've been watching this outflow 3 days in a row out of some of our big winners that we've had here in 2024. Is it time to cash in, take chips off the table, move to some lower PE things as we look ahead to 2024. Well, those are the tough decisions. I make a lot of small decisions on a daily basis, individual decisions, then one big massive decision. Sell everything. That's what most people do. They shoot from the hip in emotion. No, you got to be very cool, calculating, methodical and whatnot. And that's what I'll be doing today, taking the emotion out of it, where most people struggle with that, trying to manage their own money. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BESS, Edie will get you a time, a slot that works for you to talk to us. And the newsletter is critical. At this time of year, look, we were the ones that picked up on the move to the NASDAQ early January. You got to pick up on new cycles early. You don't want to be the last one to get onto the trolley car. Anyways, get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.